Verse 11, God tells him to be fruitful and multiply. Well, why would you say this given the fact that Jacob's already had 11 kids? I mean, probably scared his wives to death. One is because the blessing isn't just for the immediate. There is one more son that is to be born, and Rachel is already pregnant with Benjamin. She's already carrying Benjamin at this point. But it's essential that Jacob has 12 sons. Why? Because in the same way that God has patterned his purpose and plan into a world that revolves around a 12-cycle division of the constellations, of the hours of the day, of the hours of the night, and many, many more, Israel is also going to be a reflection of God's glory. And this is so critical when you understand that God takes his purpose and he patterns it into everything. If Israel is going to be the chosen nation and it's going to bear that imprint of God's glory, then it's got to look like the rest of creation that bears that same 12-stamp imprint, if that makes any sense. Verse 11, it says, a nation and a company of nations. We're going to be talking about this later when we get into the story of Joseph. We'll talk about that. Let me just remind you that this promise is now being given to Jacob. It is the same promise God gave to Abraham and Isaac, and it's essential that it's repeated to Jacob so that you and I understand this promise of a nation and a multitude of nations is not coming through Esau, it's coming through Jacob. All right, so somehow God is going to create a nation and multiple nations through the offspring of Jacob. Verse 12, God says three times he affirms the land, the gift that has been given to Israel. Three times he says, I am the one giving it. Okay, that's really important, guys, because the land of Israel isn't something that Jewish people ran in and captured and took. It's land God said, I give it to you. Who took the life of Jesus? Nobody. Jesus said, I lay it down freely. I give it. Now, were there people that actually physically did it? Sure. But the point was, they could not have done that had he not been the one doing the giving. And Israel could not possess the land of their inheritance and the promise if God wasn't the one doing the giving. There's a lot of debate as to who the land belongs to. When I was growing up, you know how you discover all those nerdy things your fathers do, like labeling their underwear and, you know, marking, you know, do you guys have a dad that labels everything? My dad labeled everything. This is a blown up picture of a satellite photo of the mountains of Israel. This is Jerusalem, and Bethel and all that is up in this area. Can you hold that for me, my lovely assistant? This is Jerusalem. If it was north south, this is the way it should be. But we're going to turn it this way. And if you look right here, this was recently discovered on an aerial satellite photography, and this part is blown up. You have the Yud-Heh, Vav-Heh. If you look up here, remember we talked about what God's ultimate plan is to build a big, big house? Right close to where they actually cross into the land en route to Bethel and Shechem, there is the Hebrew letter Bet, and there is also right here, and this is all the natural formation of the land, is a lamed, and I believe that's a sade, and that is the spelling of the word luz. Thank you very much. So, whose land is it? It's God's. He put his name on it, and it's his to give to whomever he chooses, and he has chosen Israel. All right, and you can look at that later.